Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with a Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Killer Bees, Mailbag Monday, 713-780-ESPN. What is your question for the Bees? 713-780-3776. Texter, my question is, why don't y'all know what day of the week it really is? We're not committed to standards and requirements. If we want to do Mailbag Monday on a Thursday, we'll do Mailbag Monday on a Thursday. And just because you said that, text, we might do it next week on a Friday if we want.
I mean, you always say, not that I agree with you, but you always say that we do listen to and cater to what the Hive says. So sometimes when the Hive has us doing things and saying things, we don't have time for the other things.
When would you disagree with me in that front?
Sometimes when
we listen to the listeners and we shouldn't. When was the last time? Can you remember?
There was one. Normally when we're on a topic that's got a lot of traction to it, then I don't disagree with you. But sometimes there are yahoos that we come across where they want things that we really don't have time for. Like when Israel says, let's talk Colorado when we have a college football guest on. Let's slow your roll and let us do what we do best.
Colorado's coming to town. Coming to TDECU in a few weeks. Mailbag Thursday. I like what you did there, Texter. If you were a professional crown, how would you entertain a party?
If you were a professional crown?
Clown. Did clown. I say crown? I haven't had food today. A professional clown.
I'd hire a comedian.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do the. I mean, you could be Sideshow Bob, but I'm not going to. If I'm a clown, how the hell. How old are these people? What's the audience?
I guess a kid's party. I would be a terrible clown. I'm not entertaining at all. I have zero entertainment value. I think I would just like mime, I guess, and like try to scare them, maybe. I don't know.
Balloon animals?
That probably wouldn't be entertaining. I can't make balloon animals.
Okay.
Do you know how to do that?
No.
I can't do that. I think I would just mime. And, like, wouldn't say anything. And maybe they would get a kick out of that for some reason. I think that's my play. What's your play? You can't hire anybody.
I'm trying to think of my kids' parties or birthday parties they've been to where there's a clown. What works? Because we've had some that were a little too dicey and over the top. But I think normally when you have gifts for the kids and you just, like, smile and run around and take pictures, you probably can get away with a lot more.
Texture, if I was a professional clown, I'd be Jeremy. Brother, you can't put on my clown jock. You can only dream of putting on my clown jock.
You could have gone your clown red nose, but you went to the jock.
That would have been better. Yeah. But jock is funnier sounding, I think, than nose. Yeah, you couldn't put on my clown jock. One big shoe at a time. why didn't you want to go to Paul's team meeting? You were on board with it, I guess.
I would do it, yeah.
Absolutely, I would not go to Paul's team meeting. This is on a Saturday. This texter says, what time are you going to Paul's host only meeting on a Saturday? There's no chance. Like, there's no chance I would do it, period. There's no chance I would do it on a Saturday. Ain't happening. You're gonna give up your Saturday to do a host only meeting led by Paul.
I mean, I'm a team player. Yeah.
I don't believe it. I think you're posturing. I don't think you would come
up
on a Saturday.
I heard during break say that I'm going to do it at 7 a.m. so no one shows up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
take a page from Homie the Clowns Act, Kristen Noble. Homie, don't play that. Bah! That was a good skit. What was that? Was that in Living Color?
Yeah.
That was on Fox?
I believe so, yes.
They had some good skits.
Fire Marshal Bill?
That was a good one. Yeah. You have one last meal. What are you ordering, Keith?
Oh, boy. I mean, you can order anything, right? So you can have steak and pizza and fries and...
It's a lot of food.
A bunch of stuff. Well, I mean, it's your last meal. Go for it.
You're putting on a lot of weight there before
you're... Right. That's going to be taken off real quick.
I'd probably go with surf and turf. I'd probably go a little steak and lobster. I like mashed potatoes as the side for that one. So I'd probably go mashed potatoes there. But you can do something green that's good, like a
broccoli or...
Yeah, probably wouldn't go broccoli.
I'm going baked potato.
Baked potato's good. Baked potato's very good. How about like a... You ever do the twice baked potatoes?
Oh, those are good.
Those are really good. Yep. You ever do it where you bake it you kind of take out the insides, you gut it, you mash them, yep. put it back in, bake it again.
Woo-hoo. And then melt some cheese over.
Ooh, yep. baby. I like a little Brussels sprouts if it's done right.
Oh, no.
Love me some Brussels sprouts.
I can eat them.
Right.
No.
Green beans that are done right. Ooh, baby. What would you have for the dessert on that final meal?
It wouldn't be peach cobbler, and it wouldn't be carrot cake. Probably cheesecake.
Cheesecake's good. Cheesecake would be in the conversation for me. Probably banana pudding is what I would do. Ocho, what does Blankers want for Romeo Dobbs?
Basically, make me an offer. I think that his shtick has run very thin in Green Bay. He is believed to be kind of faking an injury, a back injury, to try and get a new contract. And he isn't the guy he thinks he is when he should look at his stat sheet on how many drops he has. So make me an offer.
Would you do just a late round pick swap?
No. No, it's got to be more than that. I think teams believe he has value. And I think they need enough things that need enough at certain positions where if you give me an offensive lineman or someone like that, we can talk.
The best I'll do is a fifth.
Not enough.
Yeah, I don't think he gets traded. I don't think that the value on...
he's going to play it out there.
Yeah, I don't think that the NFL value on Dobbs is going to get him more than a fifth. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Mailbag Monday, 713-780-3776. Keith, what is your Mailbag Monday question for the Bees on a Thursday?
Mailbag Monday question for the Bees on a Thursday. You have 12 minutes on the clock, and you have to eat as many Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets as possible. No fries, water only, 2 dipping sauce max. How many of those little nuggets are you guys going to eat?
At least 100.
Question. That's a good question. 100 in 12 minutes?
Yeah.
How hungry are you right now?
Not very hungry.
I will DoorDash 100 nuggets right now, and you can eat them
those
in the final 12 minutes of the
because they're
show.
They're not like
there's no
super
way
big.
You're doing 100.
I can do 30.
112 minutes?
12 minutes, I'm definitely... the what is it? They do a 30-piece?
You do eat fast.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
You can scarf down some food, but 100? A hundo.
Oh, but the 12 minutes does factor in. But
yes.
Realistically, what's the big... They don't have a 20-piece. They have a 30-piece.
But that doesn't matter.
I know, but I'm trying to calculate from what I've done in the past.
They have a 30.
That's what I'm saying. It's a 30-piece.
Yeah, I think they go 8, 12, 30, right?
Yeah.
So
I could do, in 12 minutes, I'll do 60.
Sheesh. That's strong.
Yep, I'll do 60.
I think the most I could do is, I don't know, if I'm really hungry...
Yeah, but again, they're not those like...
They're not giants,
I don't know the real chicken factor in McDonald's, but those nuggets are fairly big size. The it's random pieces with the Chick-fil-A.
They're kind of squarish.
I can kill them easy. My daughters, because they gauge 10-piece, and whatever's left, those are easy.
So you're going 60 or a hundo?
Hundo might be too much in 12 minutes. I think that if you do like the whole BK thing, that time where you just sit and just keep eating.
Oh, yeah. Until you're...
Yeah, I could do at least 100. But in
12
minutes, I think I could get close to 60.
I think I'm going to tap out at 30. I think I'm tapping out. I don't think I can do more than 30. You're 38?
Maybe 50 now I think about it.
50?
Yeah, I mean, if it's just that, especially if I don't, like, haven't ate anything either.
12 minutes?
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
I don't, and
which sauces are you going?
See, I don't need them.
I know you don't need them. But
barbecue and honey mustard.
I would just double up on the barbecue.
Yeah.
Mine would be Chick-fil-A and barbecue. One of each.
You like the Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
I would double up on the barbecue. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I'd double up on the barbecue. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Apollo, you're in the hive. What's your question for the Bees?
Biases aside, if the Texans and the Eagles played in the Super Bowl, who wins and why? Biases aside.
I mean, I think that's easy for me. I think that it's the Eagles because of the fact that they have a dominant offensive line. They can control the line of scrimmage. You still have Saquon Barkley. You have the team that's defending their championship coming back into a matchup against a team that's never been to a Super Bowl before, let alone a conference championship. I think experience matters on top of that. And I think that the Texans probably have a slight edge defensively, but it's not enough to overcome the fact that not only do they have weapons on the offensive side of the ball for Philadelphia, but they have probably right now because of what Detroit's lost from their offensive line, they still have the best offensive line in football.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Eagles would be favored by 5.5 points right now today. So if I think they'd be favored by 5.5 points right now today, I would go Eagles. Neutral field, 5.5. I mean, Eagles Super Bowl odds are better. Their win totals are better. They're the defending champions. I think this is
now the NFC
slam dunk.
A lot easier than the AFC in terms of competition for them. I think they're a heavy favorite to win the NFC, whereas you've got a lot of good teams in the AFC.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a, that would factor into their Super Bowl odds.
Right.
It wouldn't factor into the we know the Texans matchup, Eagles are in the Super Bowl.
I think experience matters.
I mean, I don't know how anybody could say Texans.
I don't either.
Yeah, biases aside. But my bias is actually a Jalen Hurts bias. So there is that. 713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HRP listener line. Mailbag Monday. Eddie, what's your question for the Bees?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Eddie?
All right. Who has the most beautiful smile of any head coach in the NFL? It's got to be D'Amico Ryans, but help me out here.
Chuck would have thought, or Willie would have thought this would be a Chuck question.
That's a very awkward question.
Best smile in the NFL from a head coach. I mean, there's a lot of them that are not good.
No, Dan Campbell with his grill.
Dan Campbell would be out for sure. D'Amico would be up there. D'Amico does have a mesmerizing smile.
I don't know who else.
Vrabel,
no. Nope.
But how about McDaniels? McDaniel from Miami. Kind of nerdy.
No, he's
Aaron Glenn's got a good smile. Jason Glenn. Aaron Glenn's his brother. Jason Glenn's got a good smile. No, it is Aaron Glenn.
It's Aaron Glenn.
Jason Glenn is Aaron Glenn's brother. Okay. I get him confused. Jason was younger.
Canales?
I'm going division by division.
Oh.
McDermott? Nah.
No.
Harbaugh? Either Harbaugh?
No.
Stefanski?
No. No.
Tomlin?
No.
I'm not sure I've ever seen Tomlin smile.
That's true.
I think about
probably
it.
Probably true.
I don't think I've ever seen him smile.
I
think, not with T5.
I mean,
I'm blanking on the Bengals coach's name.
Zach Taylor.
Taylor's got a pretty good smile. Nah, he's from Norman. He's got all smiles from Norman are beautiful.
I think
my wife's from Norman.
Boy, I don't think there's many. Pete Carroll, if you want to go the old route.
Bubblegum. Duval.
No.
What about his smile?
No.
Stefanski? Sean Payton?
Duval.
Harbaugh you didn't like?
No.
Pete Carroll's got a cute smile. Kind of like in a grandpa kind of way.
Pete Carroll, Canales.
Andy Reid? Like in an adorable, heavy set kind of way? Pleasantly plump?
I was going to say, I'm pleasantly full and happy about it.
Not Sirianni.
That's your guy.
Not him. D'Amico's up there.
He is.
D'Amico's up there. Oh, I got a good one. Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell looks like an actor.
He does.
Kevin O'Connell's got a pretty good smile.
I think Canales does too.
How about LaFleur?
Matt LaFleur's going to be getting some votes.
Canales looks like he could be in a telenovela.
I don't know what that is, but okay.
It's like one of those Mexican soap operas.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
He could be in that. What do you mean that's what you mean? You didn't even know what a telenovela was.
Well, now that you describe what it is, that's why I think that he would get some votes.
I think
McVay would get some votes.
McVay's got a good smile. He's got a good smile.
Yeah, and LaFleur would get some votes.
D'Amico's up there, though. Uh-huh. Like, there's top-tier NFL head coach smiles. D'Amico would be up there. LaFleur would be up there.
Oh, what's his
McVay
name
McVay would
Atlanta?
Be up there. Raheem Morris has a good smile.
Yep.
I saw him on he was on the quarterbacks thing a lot. Perfectly symmetrical. Yep. He's got great
Raheem
teeth.
Raheem Morris will get
call.
Some votes.
713-780-ESPN. What a Chuck question that was. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Keith Twin's brother. You're in the hive. Keith's twin brother. That's written funny. Keith's twin brother. You're in the hive with the bees. What's your question for the bees?
Hey, guys. If you guys had 1 month...
Hang up on Keith.
That's the same.
Hang up on him. Hang up on him. Good try. Ain't happening.
You already asked a question?
Yes. It was the nugget question.
Oh, there you go. But did you text that or call it?
It called. How bad is your memory?
I don't remember. We're going long segment.
I haven't had food and I remember that. Start, sit, cut. Dre, Andre Johnson, Nico Collins, DeAndre Hopkins. I saw Stressons retweet this.
This is a good one. This is a start.
I think it's easy.
I think you start Andre, you sit D-Hop, and you cut Nico.
Is there any other answer?
I mean, I think that people are looking at Nico as like, what is his career going to be? But and the fact that Andre, because of quarterback play, didn't have as many touchdowns as he should have had. But I think it is pretty easy.
Yeah, I think it's pretty. I think it's self-explanatory for sure. I had the same as yours. What's the best sound in sports?
Ooh, there's a lot of good ones. I definitely think that the sound of a good home run ball is up there.
Just that crack of the bat. Do you prefer the crack of the bat or the college baseball aluminum bat? Ding.
No, I prefer the wooden bat, and I think that even I was teaching my daughter about this the other day. Taylor and I were watching and listening to a game, and we were listening to a game on radio, and you know those parabolic mics catch so much. And the minute that I heard the sound, I was like, ooh, and she goes, what? I go, that ball was well hit. And all of a sudden, the announcer's like, that ball's got a chance. She goes, Dan, how'd you know that? I go, there's just a certain sound of a well-hit baseball that you know when it happens.
I love the sound of a crack of a bat. It's one of my favorite sounds in sports, for sure.
The swish of a net is always
good. That is a good sound, too.
Yep.
I always like the silence of a road crowd. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's cool.
You silence a big, hostile road crowd, and you shut them all up, and then it's just you can hear a pin drop. Like at Allen Fieldhouse when the Houston won in double OT. Oh, man. You go from 110 decibels to pin drop from the top. That's pretty fun.
Like the ones,
that's pretty fun.
Ones that I have personally experienced, there's some really good ones and there's some really bad ones. Because like the one really bad one that comes to mind is when Chandler Parsons hit the reverse layup against the Blazers and I had the entire Rose Garden go quiet in front of me. I thought, that's awesome. And then when Dame turned around and drilled a shot to win it and we had to sit there and wear it.
Yeah.
That was difficult.
Yeah, it depends on what side you're sitting on for sure. A golf ball sinking in the hole.
I thought of that, but you can't hear it on TV.
They should put a mic in there.
They really should.
That would sound cool.
Yep.
Because you can hear it when you make a putt. How about just like a, I mean, if you stripe a driver, though.
Yep, that's a good one.
Striping a driver is a pretty good sound.
Yeah.
Do you have one, Age? Sound in sport?
A swish of a net, for sure.
Swish of a net. Bank plus swoosh? Nah, I don't know about that. I think he was trying to say swish. Bank plus swish. Fire. I don't really like the bank really much.
No.
I could do without the bank. I hear natural sound a lot. Like, because of what we do, we can hear like crowd mic and stuff. Sometimes I think they turn the crowd mic up too high. Like, you'll hear like a good crack of the bat, and it's like, oh, it's a routine pop fly to center.
Right.
Sometimes I think they amplify it too much. I don't mind just the squeaking of sneakers on a hardwood floor.
Yeah. I was going to say the sound of a really good catcher's mitt catching fastballs.
Yeah.
When the real pop of that catcher's mitt.
I mean, Clint Eastwood was able to evaluate a high school prospect on the pop of the mitt. He did in a movie. Venus Williams grunt, best sound in sports. Some of those, like, those are pretty good sounds too, though, in tennis, whether it's their shoes screeching or whether it's just like a striped in the middle of the, I don't know how you would say that.
Right in the middle of the racket when you catch it.
Striped in the middle of the racket.
Yeah.
A bone-crunching tackle, face mask to the chest, and those shoulder pads and everything just popping. Oh, I love that.
There's been, when you get a really, really, like, shoulder pad popping hit, those are good.
A flush 3-iron? That's a funny one. Nope, not reading that, Ocho. Swish, says somebody.
Sound of the Cubs losing.
Old school football hit. Cubs are going to lose today. Crack of a home run ball. Yep, pads clapping, a big hit in football. That's a good one. The grunts in tennis. You guys are perverts. A boxing glove to the face. That's a good call, man. Mm-hmm. Nice little knockout punch to the face. Back like in the Tyson days.
Even UFC, if it's a kick or a punch that's like directly landed, it has a different sound to it.
Football doinking off the uprights for a team you want to lose. That's a pretty good one. Or you can go soccer there, too, off of the woodwork. Uh-huh. Angel Reese brick. I prefer an Angel Reese rebound sound. Those are my favorite. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Troy, you're in the Hive. What's up, Troy?
Hey, question. It hadn't been happening very often, but who's the next Astro to hit a home run? I'll hang up and listen.
Oh,
well, that's a good one.
That is a really good one. I'm going to go with Correa.
I'm going to go with Yordan Alvarez.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yordan Alvarez hits a home run for the Astros on Saturday. He's going to hit it off the warehouse.
Well, at least I got a couple of games.
Saturday.
Yeah, see, that's why I think I got a couple of games to play with here where I think Correa's got a chance.
Saturday. Texture says, Omaha!
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be Altuve.
Omaha! Maybe. Head kick to the head. Oh, I saw a spinning elbow in UFC. I forget who the guy was on Saturday. I was watching the UFC matches on Saturday, the fight. It was the, I forget who it was. It was the sub-main event. It was the co-main event. And he did a spinning elbow to the face. It was nasty. Yeah, did you see
sound,
that?
With sound?
Oh, it sounded good. I mean, it's hard to pick up the gnat sound on those very good. But it was more of the sight than it was the sound.
I saw one today on a hit that was, I thought I was watching like a kid's football game where a running back went around the edge and was going down the sideline. And then when I read the caption, it said it was a 40 and over football league or what? Something like that, or an adult football league. But this little running back, who was super quick, got around the edge and was running like for about 30, 40 yards. And a big dude coming from the weak side just threw his entire body into the like I said, I thought it was a kid, but completely de-cleated the running back. I was like, oh my goodness, that was a hit.
How many Keiths listen to the show, Keith? It's a different Keith.
See, though. But I think what the confusion is, a lot of people think we're saying Keith from L.A.
It's
Key from L.A.
Yeah. Poker chips being pushed to you. Is that a sport, though? No. Love me some poker.
No.
I wouldn't consider poker a sport. Agreed. Colts theme song is the best sports, the best song in the best sound in sports, Colt fan. I don't disagree. That one's pretty good. Hockey check against the boards. That one's pretty good, too.
That's pretty good.
Someone said the ripping of the net in soccer when you score a goal. The net rip. That's a pretty good one, too. I like a little cheese pull, from a good mozzarella stick. Keith's twin brother, how fast is your 100-meter sprint time today versus 1 month of training with Usain Bolt? I don't think we're really.
Yeah.
I'm going to go sub 20. So 20 there. Texters, McVay. This is the smile.
Oh.
Coach from Green Bay is dreamy. Daniel Jones or Dak Prescott start more games this year?
Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I go Dak. Where can I send $5 for the Blankers Nugget Challenge? Everybody wants you to do this.
Okay.
Nikes, Reeboks, Adidas, or New Balance. I'm on these Ons. These Ons are what
they look comfy.
I've been on these.
You think they're good for running?
I don't know, man. I don't run.
You're
asking the wrong guy.
I saw a commercial the other day for Skechers. Skechers, really randomly here, that I would never have guessed. They do marathon shoes.
Yeah.
And a lot of the big marathoners, the big-time marathoners, the Olympians and all that, they wear them. But Skechers has a new Airflow running shoe bottom that looks really cushioned.
The game has turned upside down. Best sound. Jose. Remember the Yao Ming.
That was Chance McClain.
Yao Ming.
Yeah, Chance created that song. And Jeff Van Gundy hated it and made us quit playing it.
Yao Ming.
I didn't know that was a thing.
When we got Van Gundy as head coach, he had a rule. You could not single out Tracy or Yao. And that if you did a billboard or a commercial or anything else, you had to have a minimum of 5 players in it.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. That was annoying. It was so annoying.
Texture says, Blanker saying 100 nuggets was so disrespectful to the sport of competitive eating.
The 12 minutes threw me off because I didn't hear it. But, like, if you could do, like I said, I kept thinking about BK having to get stuck at that Waffle House eating. But I definitely could get 100 nuggets over a period of time. But in 12 minutes, I think I could get 2 boxes of 30.
I think you get to eat. I think 60 is in question here. 100, I think, is a bit much. Adjusting a clean body
in question,
shot.
I think I could get to 60.
No, I said 60 for sure. I said 100 is in question. Well, is that what I said?
Yeah, you know, you said 60 is in question.
I'm not very sharp at the moment. But I think I said 60 is good. 100 is in question?
No.
Okay. I meant 60.
I meant
60 is good. 100 is in question.
I think, yeah.
I'm all over the place. I can't think straight right now. Justin says a clean body shot in boxing. That's a good sound, man.
Yeah.
It's like you can see the guy. Like,
you can hear the
rumble,
guy kind of.
And then he almost collapses like an accordion.
Yeah, there's like a thump and a.
It's nasty. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We didn't get to this earlier because, again, I got sidetracked. The season is going to be telling on C.J. Stroud. Not a make or break year, but a telling year for C.J. Stroud. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Dine out, do good. You'll be happy. Your belly's going to be happy. You're going to be enjoying fantastic food. Houston Food Bank, for every dollar donated, is going to provide 3 meals. You're going to support these restaurants in what is typically a slow time of the year. So dine out, do good. You're going to love it. Head to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. Check out the full list of restaurants. Fogo de Chao. Love when that light, whenever I turn over that little plastic, or I guess it'd be paper, over to the green sign. Give me some steak. Oh, I love me some Fogo de Chao. Hearsay, Black Walnut, many, many more. Head to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com and check out the full list. You'll be happy that you did. Let's give away a pair of tickets to the ESPN Houston Listener Appreciation Party right now. The first person to call in and answer correctly which Houston Texan was at Lee Sterling's daughter's wedding. In fact, he was a groomsman to Lee Sterling's son-in-law. Who was that Houston Texan? 713-780-3776. You get it right, you're headed to the ESPN 97.5 listener party. So a really good story in The Ringer. Took a look at this last night. It was written by Stephen Ruiz. Never heard of him, but it's a good piece. And it talked about really the hurdles of last season, the challenges of last season, what's on tap for C.J. Stroud. And reading this, I thought to myself, yeah, I think this could be really, really good, no doubt about it. But I think that this season's going to be telling on C.J. Stroud. Short story, they're going to put a lot of play. They're going to put a lot on C.J. Stroud's plate. Okay, if he handles it, I think we're talking about a top five-ish caliber quarterback. If he can't handle it, I do think that it puts a governor on how good he can be in the NFL. Maybe like just outside the top 10, or maybe even top 10, but not top 5. So a few of the challenges from last season that this Ringer article points to. Last year, no passer in the NFL faced more unblocked pressures than C.J. Stroud. 79 over the course of last. No quarterback in the NFL faced more unblocked pressures. I don't know about you, Blankers. I never played the quarterback position outside of intramurals, but that doesn't seem good.
No, that's extremely bad. That is worrisome from the standpoint of that's why when we talk about a quarterback having like CTE and his mental clock and the alarm going off way too soon because of the experiences you've been through, that's why.
And we can simplify it too. Like quarterbacks who have a lot of time to throw are going to have more success than a quarterback who doesn't have a lot of time to throw. And to see unblocked pressures, they're in your face just the moment that you look up. He finished second, Stroud did, in the NFL in dropbacks on 3rd and 10 and plus, 3rd and 10 or longer. Again, let's keep it simple, stupid. What is a better way of converting a third down? 3rd and 5 or less, or 3rd and 10 and more?
Yep. And the fact that, again, when you start talking about that, that means that your entire offense isn't doing you any favors, whether it's drops, unsuccessful play calls, penalties like we saw all year last year.
So that doesn't bode well for an offense that's trying to have success or a second-year quarterback. Next up. Houston was particularly bad when blocking against defensive line stunts. Didn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And Stroud was sacked a league-leading 20 times on those plays. So a defensive line stunt, 20 times last year, Stroud was sacked on those plays specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Stunts got him 20 times.
The old chubby checker. They didn't like the twist. That was one of their nemesis.
20 times.
That's a lot.
Pick up a stunt, and that's over a sack a game.
I mean, we used to see it all the time. And just remember the Jets game where it was just like, oh, my God, all they're going to do is stunt and twist, and their D-line is going to have just a feast on CJ.
You know who really ruined it was Brian Flores. Because Flores did it early in the year.
Minnesota game was ugly, too.
They set the template for the rest of the NFL. Flores destroyed.
What's the big boy, Slowick, the interior lineman that had the field day for the Jets, too? Williams?
Yeah.
Quentin Williams. Quentin Williams.
He's also the guy that 2 years ago probably concussed him.
Yeah. All he did was just, again, stunt, twist, tee off, boom.
Yeah, it was that 20 times. I did listen to D'Amico today, and he was actually pleased about how the offensive line fared against stunts. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's good. We'll see. Next bullet point here. For the first time, this is talking more about this year. For the first time in his NFL career, Stroud will be able to change protections and call audibles before the snap. So, as we knew, didn't do it last year.
Right.
Houston will be leaning on Stroud's knowledge and feel for the game in ways it didn't over the last 2 years. More on C.J. Stroud's plate. This year is going to be very telling about how good C.J. Stroud can be as an NFL quarterback. Because this talked about how this scheme is going to be more like New England and how that can be beneficial for quarterbacks that can handle it. But it can be damning for quarterbacks who cannot. And like the Shanahan tree and the Slowick tree, that's a good scheme and good offenses for quarterbacks that they're trying to lighten the load on. So they're putting more on Stroud's plate than he's ever going to see in the NFL. If he can handle it, I think he can be top five. If he can't, I think we're looking at a guy who can never be top five.
Yeah, this is definitely telltale because of the fact that this is exactly what he's wanted, and you got to be careful what you wish for and you ask for, because now that you got it, that you have to be able to do something with it. And in it, what we heard and a lot of his frustration, even if he wasn't vocalizing it in press conferences, what you kind of could get the gist of was, if you're going to have the guy that knows what to do when, if he is correctly reading the defense when they break the huddle, then at least allow me to be able to switch the play and not rely on it being Bobby Slowick last year. Like, let me control what I see as opposed to what you're doing over there on the sideline.
Yeah, it was a really good read. I highly suggest it. Dalton Schultz had a quote in this that kind of caught my eye. I don't want to say it lights a fire under quarterbacks in this scheme, but it's like, hey, you better be on your – you omit one word from the play call. Now everything's messed up. It puts a little more pressure on the quarterback in that sense, but at the same time, with responsibility comes a lot of freedom, the feeling that you can put your own twist to it. In some ways, like to make it layman's term so I can understand it, it does feel like this year's offense is taking the training wheels off of CJ Stroud. And see, what can training wheels do? Like, training wheels, one, they can prevent you from going your maximum speed, but they also keep you from falling down. So now we're creating this higher degree of variance for Stroud, where now he can really take off in his NFL career and go be as great as he can be. Or he can be bad at it, and all of a sudden he kind of goes further and further to the middle of the pack of NFL quarterbacks.
Like, to the extreme, but this is the difference between when Trey Lance was drafted so high and thrown into the Shanahan system, and then you be careful what you wish for. He had no idea how to do what a quarterback in that system needs to do, and he fell off the planet before he even got a chance to start. From a CJ perspective, he is a student of the game. He claims to be a student of the game. You hear the stories from Ohio State, but then you know that he, you know, whether it's Matt Stafford or guys like Brady and Manning and the guys that you always hear about if you're a quarterback, and Rodgers, these are the guys that were able to control every play called from the time they broke the huddle and even as they got up behind center. This is what he wants. Now you got to grab the bull by the horns and you got to prove you could do it.
Yeah, what's really damning about Lance is like the Shanahan offense is supposed to be the most quarterback friendly, so it's like that's not a great sign. A texter, shout out Dixon Mayaz, happy 8th birthday. We're not shout out radio. We're not shouting out Dixon and his 8th birthday. I didn't even shout out Branham Baby. It was his birthday yesterday. Hey, how many times did I mention Branham Baby's birthday yesterday? Zero times, sir. Zero times. So we're gonna shout out Dixon's 8th birthday. Happy birthday, Dixon. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. So, Texter says CJ's a winner. Look, I do think he's going to excel. I think this is going to be a good thing for CJ Stroud. I just also want to throw out, in the realm of possibilities, if he struggles this year, okay, maybe he was better suited for a Slowick training wheels offense.
Or, even though he is going to get it, grasp it, and be good at it, growing pains are going to happen when you're doing it for the first time. So you're going to have some patience where it might not be perfect early on, because you know that everything is vanilla in the preseason. When you get to the real ball, starting with the Rams game, that things are going to be totally different, and that there might be some times where he does do some things, like, hopefully not to the point where Schultz said it, but he's going to learn some lessons along the way.
No, it has to be a end of the season. How do we think he did? Yeah. And look, we'll criticize him along the way and we'll praise him along the way too. But there's going to be growing pains for him in this offense. In the same way rookies have, you know, growing pains, welcome to the NFL moment, he's going to have moments in this offense where he misses the call. He misses the coverage. He has a line shift the way that it shouldn't, and it looks really, really bad. It's going to go with the territory for a first-year quarterback in this scheme, because it is a step up from a sophisticated point of view.
Now, the one thing that you also have to kind of – he's got to have great synergy with, if it's Andrews or whoever's going to be your starting center, in the fact that – you need someone that can also kind of help you if you stumble, right? Whether it's a read at the line of scrimmage, and or if you do miss terminology, that at least you've got a veteran that's working in sync with you that might be able to catch it before it's too late, so that you don't make a bigger mistake.
Yeah, for sure. 713-780-ESPN. So we're going to give away a couple of tickets to the ESPN listener party. The phone lines were down just a moment ago. So first person to call in right now, 713-780-3776, with the correct answer. Who was the Texan at Lee Sterling's daughter's wedding? He was a groomsman to the son-in-law of Lee Sterling. 713-780-3776. Car wrecks of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? Coming up next, it is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Car wrecks of the day, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. What is your car wreck of the day?
Well, in Cleveland, we've got a little Myles Garrett gate going on because of his desire to drive fast. But it was a creative way that a reporter decided to try and get him to speak on it when he wasn't going to speak on it. Hit it, Age.
What is it like to be in that car and seeing that speedometer creep up toward 100?
I'd honestly rather talk about football on this team than anything I'm doing off field, other than the back to school, you know, event that I did the other day.
But still, I mean, people want to know about that.
People want to know a lot of things.
And now, like, Cleveland sports radio and everything, they all have their opinions on if he should have talked about it, why he's not talking about it. But, like, if that's how you're going to get to it, you're not going to say, do you have any comment about the latest speeding allegation? But what's it feel like when you see that speedometer get on over 100? Is that the way that he's going to, like, kind of buddy up to him? So he goes, hey, let me tell you something. That adrenaline rush, when I get that pedal down, he ain't talking about that.
I mean, that'd be the one thing that I would want to know, though. Like, I would want to know, when you're going 300 miles per hour, what difference do you feel? Like, that's what I want.
But I think they were only asking because I think he had triple digits. But I think it was just like 100.
What's the furthest you've gone in a car? Fastest you've gone in a car?
Like 125.
Yeah, mine's probably not that far over 100. Maybe like 105-ish, somewhere around there. I've went over 100 deliberately.
If you ever do that, from what I've heard, if you get a chance to do one of those on track things,
yeah,
especially if you get a real driver to take you, like, it's like bubble guts time.
Really?
Yeah.
There's some highways in West Texas where the speed limit's 80. So if the speed limit's 80, I'm driving 90. And there was times where I was like, I'm going 90. I was like, let me see if I notice a noticeable difference. And you really do. There's a bit of a difference between 105 and 90. But I'm not sitting there a lot. I'm not cruising at 105. I cruise at 90, though, out there. Those highways that are speed limit 80, sure. Cruising at 90, for sure. What's the fastest you've gone, Age? You got in a wreck. How fast were you going then?
Bring that up.
It's a long time ago. He didn't die.
Thank God. But no,
I wouldn't ask him if he was dead.
It was 90-something. But no, on that, no, I was hit at a red light. But yeah.
Oh, so somebody ran into you at a red light?
Yeah.
Dang, that sucks.
Turned green, but yeah.
I do think I miss my calling as an F1 driver, though. I really do. Like these go-kart races that I always do, I always win.
I definitely think you need to get on one of those tracks before you say that and figure out what that turn feels like.
I always win these things, man. Those are fun. I like doing the go-kart stuff. I go fast.
You've been racing Stutes?
No, man.
Okay. Just checking.
I don't hang out with that guy.
All right. I don't either.
I'm going to be racing Stutes. No, I've done it a few times. The most recent time I did was in Orlando, I think. And, I got first place. If I can win some middle-of-the-afternoon Saturday F1 go-kart in Orlando, I think I have a chance to – I think I could give Max Verstappen a run for his money. I think Louis Hamilton would, you know, eat my dust.
I mean
– I mean, obviously, I'm
those
kidding.
Go-karts that don't have governors are the best ones.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done the one with it. Well,
it's in the Andretti ones now.
That's the one that I did. I did the Andretti in Orlando.
Okay, I think some of the Andretti ones don't have governors.
I mean, we were going pretty quick.
Yeah,
but how fast does it go? Because I was probably what?
Trestle closer.
I mean, we were probably like in the 40s, maybe.
Yeah,
they go that fast.
Closer to the ground.
How fast do those Andretti carts go?
I mean, pretty fast.
I'm gonna have to look. My Branham baby loves. Like speed and cars and stuff. I don't know if I love that.
That's scary. I know. The kid that young have to feel the need for speed.
Yeah, I'm not a huge. Oh, they go up to 35. The Andretti carts.
Okay. You're lower to the ground and all that.
I'm like weaving in and out of traffic. Pretty good. I'm teasing. A car wreck that I have Kyle Tucker playing with a broken hand.
Yeah.
What's going on? How is he? I guess he was trying to play through it so he could get all the counting stats and make a bunch of money in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Like, you don't know if they don't tell you. So if he's just basically, when is the imaging happening? Because this is what the Astros always are dealing with. But I'm curious, like, when did he speak up and or did they have imaging to where as a team, too, you got to think about this going, for the long haul, I probably need to shut you down now because I'm going to need you late, as opposed to what he's doing now.
Apparently, they knew about it like 2 weeks after he was either hit by a pitch or sliding into a bag.
He was sliding into a bag.
See, Joe says he was hit by a pitch. I read sliding into a bag.
Yes, I did too.
But maybe he heard it originally getting hit, and then it re-aggravated it sliding into a bag. But anyway, so they found out like 2 weeks later, and then he has still been playing through.
And now here's the other problem is now that they're saying, well, now he's okay. It's okay now. Well, no, it's not, because you might as well at least do him a solid, because right now he's crapping the bed.
Yeah, it's rough. Oso says kids' car ride at Disney World in Orlando doesn't go that fast. It wasn't that, Oso, you jerk. There's a go-kart track on I-10 and 99 in Katy. Okay, well, how fast do they go? Let's get out there. Let's do some stuff.
10 and 99. Oh, that's out. We've done a couple. We just did a remote for BB's out there.
Texter says Keith's twin brother calling in is the car wreck of the day by far. And Joel thinking he can eat 100 nuggets.
In 12 minutes, I already retracted it saying I didn't factor that in. But I think in 12 minutes, I can at least do 60.
Keith's twin brother calling is a good nom.
Yeah, I think it's probably
the winner. I want that to win. Can that one win?
That's win.
All right, Keith's twin brother calling in is the winner. Congratulations, Keith's twin brother. You win something. Car wreck of the day. Does it for us. Thanks to H for the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Keep it here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.